Good morning again. It was an exciting week around here, and one of the things I truly love about Mount Olivet, and maybe it's all Methodist churches, I don't know, because Mount Olivet's the only Methodist church I've been part of, is that there's so much going on here. I mean, you come into the church, and it's not just the staff that's part of the church. The lay people are here, and Larry Franklin's ripping off the siding on the side of the church, and I keep on thinking, oh, what's going on now? Paul Creef is out there, and somebody else is painting boards, and you know, there's people in the food pantry, and there are people upstairs helping out the children, and everybody's just part of a family helping out. And that really is what a family of God is all about. The other thing I would like to say is I think we need to keep Alicia lifted up in prayer because right now the church is organized chaos. She's the organization and we're the chaos. So let's keep her lifted up this week. Today's scripture reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It is the story of God choosing David to become king of Israel. And before I read the scripture, I'd like to provide a little background to the story. Samuel was a prophet who was anointed by God to lead the people of Israel. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his two sons to be judges. But they were dishonest. They perverted justice. Just as a side note, for those of you who have had trouble with your own children from time to time, let's note that Samuel the prophet had trouble with his kids as well. And it even goes back to Eli before him, who had trouble with his children. Anyway, they were dishonest, they perverted justice, so the elders of Israel asked Samuel to appoint a king to lead them. This displeased God, for by asking for a king, they were really rejecting God as their king. God told Samuel to warn the people of Israel what would happen if they wanted a king. He would take their crops, their sons, their horses and chariots, as well as their livestock and servants. The people answered, "We want a king anyway." So, even with all God's warnings, Saul was made king, and all the things God warned about came to pass. Finally, Saul was rejected as king for disobedience. Now Samuel was directed to find a new king. Listen to these words. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king.' But Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.' Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, 'Do you come in peace?' Samuel replied, 'Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves, come to the sacrifice with me.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and he thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed one stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider the appearance of his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'The Lord has not chosen this one either.' Jesse then called Shema to pass by. But Samuel said, 'Nor has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, Are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Have you ever thought about that verse? The Lord looks at the heart. In other words, the Lord sees into our hearts. He knows all our thoughts, every part of our being. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is covered. Everything is exposed in God's sight. What does he see? What does he see? How many of us really contemplate what motivates us? Why do we do the things we do? God knows. He sees us for who we are, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. Today's scripture tells us that God told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. We can surmise that Jesse and his family were faithful Jews. They knew what it meant to consecrate themselves and prepare a sacrifice. Jesse's sons were tall, strong, some would say ripped, pleasing to the eye. One by one they are presented. One by one they are rejected. God tells Samuel, that's not what I'm looking for. The Lord does not look what people look at. Finally, David is presented and God looks into his heart and he says, he's the one. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day forth. What did God see in David's heart that so pleased him? In the book of Acts, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Antioch and he speaks of David, and I quote, after this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king. And he gave them Saul, son of Kish, the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, if David, son of Jesse, is a man after God's own heart, I think we should ask the question, how do I have a heart like David? We can learn a great deal about David and about his relationship with God by both his actions and his words. As you know, David was a prolific writer, and he wrote many of the Psalms. You know, there's a great deal that we can learn about relationships with God in the Psalms. Let's take a look at a few and learn about David. One of the things I think is important to notice today is that as we talk about David and David's relationship with God, it is in the here and now. His writings are consistent with the belief that God is with him in the presence. As the song said today, God is in our midst today. Listen to these words from Psalm 119. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Be good to your servant while I live, and that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. David was in the word. God has provided us a way to know him. And one of those ways is through his word. David delighted in God's word. He meditated on it. He prayed about it. Open my eyes that I may see, he prays. Speaking of prayer, listen to these words from Psalm 5. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you, and I wait expectantly. In the morning, David writes, I pray. I give you my requests, and I wait expectantly. So, we know David read God's word. He prayed. He meditated about God's word, and he expected God's reply. He expected God was part of his daily life. There's more. We know David trusted God. From the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a great verse that is. I shall not want. In other words, the Lord is all I need. The psalm goes on, he leads me, he guides me, he provides me rest, and he protects me from my enemies. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What a statement of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. How many of us spend so much time in our life worrying, fretting? I can see a lot of nods. Yeah, I'm a fretter. Yeah, well, so am I. David put his faith in action. We all know the story of David and Goliath, but I think it's important that we take a look at a few of the verses, refresh ourselves. This is from 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands." So there's David standing in front of what is said to be an 8.5 foot tall giant of a man, dressed in full armor. David has a sling and 5 shiny stones. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." Now that's faith. Bold, decisive, actionable faith. A faith that is lived. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. But David was not Jesus. Jesus is God. David was human. And as such, David was not perfect. He was a sinner. We know he fell to the temptations of Bathsheba. He plotted to have her husband Uriah killed in battle. Along comes Nathan the prophet, and he lets David know how unhappy God is with his behavior. So what does David do? He repents. Listen to these words from Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." How many of you have a Nathan in your life? We all need one. And I believe that if you are in the Word, praying and listening, your Nathan will be the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Spirit, He will let you know. But, of course, sometimes God sends you a Christian brother to remind you of who you are. There I was on the tee of this 18th green at the Carolina Club. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I'm having one of the best rounds of my life. Now, that tee box overlooks an area of water, and you have to hit the ball about 75 yards across the water onto the fairway. I hit the ball 250 yards. That's not a problem. So I wind up, and I take my most powerful swing, and the ball goes straight up in the air. Darn, 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 or some words to that effect. I turn, and there's my friend Owen standing at the golf cart, shaking his head. You know, Bruce, you don't have to cuss. My Nathan that day. And he was right. He was absolutely right. Busted, convicted. We have to remember who we are, always. There's that Christian talking about going to church on Sunday. You hear what he said? Throughout 1 and 2 Samuel, we see that David had a servant's heart. Even after he was anointed king, he worked for Saul, for yet it was not his time to be king. He gave Saul the best of both his military and musical skills. Saul turned against him, as you know from the story in the Bible. He chased him and he tried to kill him. But still, David would not harm Saul. There's a wonderful story in which Saul is going into a cave to take care of some business. Now, David sneaks up behind him without him knowing, and he cuts off a piece of his cloak. The next day, David comes out, and he holds up the cloth. And he says, "See, Saul, I could have killed you. I could have killed you. But it's more important to me to be obedient to my God than to be king before my time." Choice. How many of us make the right choice to be obedient to God, to give service to God over personal gain? We get to make those choices all the time, don't we? You see, David, throughout his life, served the people of Israel wholeheartedly as their king. He was a dedicated, faithful, and obedient servant of God. So in summary, what do we know about David? He was a man immersed in God's word. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of great trust and faith, bold faith, actionable faith, lived faith. He was a repentant man who tried to be an obedient, faithful servant. He was a man of character. But most of all, I believe David loved God, and God knew it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And when you look at David's life, his service, his poetry, his music, you see a man who loved his God. And I think when God looked into David's heart, he saw that David loved him. And God loved David. When you look into your own heart today, can we say we love God the way David loved God? Do we have that strength of love for our God? Let's close with these words from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Let the people of Mount Olivet say, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.
What a great message God has laid on his heart, and he's laid on that through his Spirit for us. I want to just touch on one thing that Bruce said. We're human beings. David wasn't Jesus. We're not Jesus. We sin. We fall down. And the thing that Bruce made clear to us from the Word is, so did David, but he repented. You know, when we do things to one another, whether it's our spouses or our children, when we mess up, until we ask forgiveness or repentance, that hinders the love that can be shared back and forth, doesn't it? So as we prepare for a time of a prayer as our praise team sings, I just would invite you to think about that. What is it in your life that is hindering your walk with God? And I invite you to come and pray and confess that and repent, as Bruce said today. What a great message for us today. Thank you, Bruce. Let us stand and sing.